Hey, I'll tell you, I'd rather be here than with the clicker in front of the square glare. I'd rather be here. Amen. I would. I think about what's needed on a Sunday night after a real heavy week at VBS, and I pray every time I preach. The hard thing with me is not knowing the Bible. I know the Bible. I've been studying it. It's knowing what part of the Bible God wants me to preach every time to meet the needs. That's the hardest thing. That's the biggest challenge I have. And waiting on God so it's His message, not mine, you know. And that's hard, too. I water ski sometime, but I never got up on my skis yet because I'm always trying to help out the boat, and I'm trying to do it, and I can't get up because I'm pulling on it, you know. And we got to let the Lord lead us, amen. But tonight I'm thinking of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 30. If you'll turn there, Isaiah in chapter 30. And I want to start off the sermon by quoting verse number 15 of chapter 30 of Isaiah. And there it says, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not." Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Talking to God's people, the prophet Isaiah. I'll quote it again. "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not." The question is, what is the prophet Isaiah telling the people of God here tonight in verse 15? In the context, the people had been threatened by a bad enemy, a very cruel enemy called the Assyrians, and they would kill people and flay their skin, you know. And they were really afraid of these Assyrians coming down and destroying them. And they were so terrorized by this wicked and cruel enemy, they were panicking. And instead of returning to their God, who could easily have defeated the Assyrians, they did not do that. You know, God showed with King Hezekiah when he went to God, one angel destroyed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. But the people of God here in the northern kingdom, they wouldn't do what the preacher was saying. And I hope tonight you'll do what this message is all about, and you'll experience what is promised here, because God's people were panicking and they were not confident. And they were not depending upon Him. But what did they put their dependence on? Well, they decided, you know, we got to kiss up to Egypt. Egypt, you know, is a type of the world. And they said, we got to kiss up basically to the world and make friends with the Egyptians. And the Egyptians will help us. But here's what God says in Isaiah 30, verse 7. He says, "For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still." You see, God said, don't go to the Egyptians. Don't go to the world. Don't try to figure out how you're going to deal with your problems. Go back to me. Rest in me. Have a relationship with me, and you will be successful. And then God is trying to say in that verse number 7 there, when you are outnumbered in this life and feel like you're outgunned by all the world around you, don't panic. Go to the unsaved world for your help. No. Don't do that. You know, like we said last night to Silly Sally, or a couple nights ago, cigarettes, no. Booze, no. Don't go to the world. We are living in a 21st century pressure cooker. And to be honest, I know many of you tonight, you're feeling pressure in your family situation, maybe in your job situation, in the political environment that we're in the country right now, and even pressure in serving the Lord in the church. You feel it as you're under that pressure. And I think of a missionary to China. How many have heard of J. Hudson Taylor? Yeah, he was the founder of the Inland China Mission, and he was a great missionary in the 19th century, 1800s. He really reached China for Christ. And he said this: when pressures and problems come into your life, they can either be a wedge to drive a relationship away from you and God, or they can be a pressure to press you to God. And you have to decide what it's going to be. And I ask you tonight, how about the problems in your life? You have problems right now in your life. Are they driving you to God or pressing you to God's breast? Or is it a wedge that's coming between it? And then this message is for you. If it's been a wedge, if you're doing it, keep doing the right thing. But the prophet counsels you certainly not to panic. For here's what the Bible says: for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning to who? God, the true God. They had worshipped idols. In returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. I wonder, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have been experiencing resting in God, resting in His will? How many have been experiencing His strength in your life to meet the challenges? And life is a challenge. Every day there's some challenge in your life, but God will give you the strength. God will give you what you need, and that's what He's promising here if you return to God and you rest in God. And in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15 and 19, I'm going to put two verses together from the passage that I'm studying here tonight with you, chapter 30 of Isaiah 15 and 19. I'm going to read it together. It says, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. He will be very gracious unto thee. At the voice of thy cry, when he shall hear it, he will answer thee. Isaiah 30, 15 and 19. These are verses that make up the title of my message to you tonight. The title of the message is, Pray, Don't Panic. Pray, Don't Panic. Now, I want to say three things about that tonight. Pray, don't panic. First, don't panic about anything. Don't panic about anything. Isaiah says, for thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and returning in rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye what? Would not. Now, if you've been worrying about anything, then that verse is for you tonight. You would not, or you will not, or you are not. You don't need to worry about anything. And if you worry about one thing, it's going to lead you to the next stage of worry, which is panic. And notice the counsel of God's man is not to panic, but the people of God listened to the wrong counsel, and they did panic, and it says ye would not. Now, I've heard sometimes a person will hear a message like this. I'll go down and talk to them after I'm out of the pulpit, and they're doing exactly the opposite of what we're talking about here. And I'll say to them, What did I just preach? And, you know, that is so true. It says, and ye would not. Don't panic about anything. And don't be in the category of the people that just take it in and they panic. They panic. Because they panicked because they would not listen to the man of God when he told them, stay put, wait on God to deal with your enemies. Don't go to the world. And they didn't listen to the man of God. I wonder, I looked this up again tonight just to be sure. Do you know the most repeated command in the Bible? It's repeated 365 times in one form or another. But it's the most repeated command in the Bible. You got it? Okay, let Matt give it here. And you got it back there? Let Matt give it here.
Fear not.
That's right. Fear not. 365 times. Don't be afraid. Fear not. So what I'm preaching on tonight, I think it's important, don't you? If God repeated it that many times, that tells me that the people of God have a tendency to worry. We have a tendency to fear. And we have a tendency not to be peaceful and restful, like it's saying here. And it's repeated 365. Hey, I just thought about it. I didn't even think about that. How many days are there in a year? How many days are there in a year? I just thought about that. Thank you, Lord. Some of you have listened to the counsel of man, of the man of God I was talking about, to do things God's way. But then you'll get away from the message and you'll hear worldly people that'll stir you up to worry again. How many have done that? You listen, you get encouraged, and you listen to the wrong crowd, and you get stirred up to worry again. And a lot of the world, that's what they're doing. They're watching the news, and they're all worried about the news and all upset about the news, and they're panicking about it, and they're not following the counsel here. Don't panic about anything. The Bible says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, the New Testament, be careful for nothing. Careful means full of care, full of worry. Don't worry about anything in your life. I was looking at Psalm 37, verse 8. Fret not thyself, it says, in any wise to do evil. I've thought about that many times. When I'm worrying about things, when I'm upset about things, it leads me to get independent of God. And what happens when you get independent of God? Well, you sin. You do bad things. That's why it says, fret not thyself, Psalm 37 and verse 8, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. I think of the Old Testament. Remember Abram? He went into the land. He stepped out in faith. He did what God wanted him to do. And what happened when he got in the land? There was a famine in the land, and he was all worried. And so what did he do when he had that famine in the land? He started fretting, and what did it lead him to do? To go to Egypt, just like these people. He went to Egypt, and he went down to Egypt with his family, and that led him. He had a beautiful wife, and he was worried about them killing him and taking his wife, and he didn't want to die. So he said, say, you're my sister. Say, you're my sister. And that put her in a world of trouble, and Pharaoh took her in because she was such a beautiful woman. He became part of his harem. Thank God, God didn't allow him to lay one hand on her. But I'm just saying that Abraham, at that time, Abram, he was doing foolishly because he was worrying. Worry about nothing. Don't let worry into the driver's seat of your life. You know, I have granddaughters, and my granddaughters, they get to a certain age. Every time they visit me, oh, Papa, I want to drive. So I take them up to some remote parking lot and let them drive, you know, a little bit. I'm like, but anyway, and they like that. But don't let worry into the driver's seat of your life, because it will lead you to do a lot more sin. Why? Because now you're independent of God, and we need to do everything by faith or we're in trouble. Isaiah 30:16 says that worry will lead you to run away from God's will and seek the wrong things in your life. The prophet of God said to God's people, but ye said no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore In other words, the people said, we're going to flee on horses. We're going to ride these swift horses. Therefore, God said to them, they that pursue you shall be swift. In other words, no matter how fast you try to run, God will have someone that will overtake you. So the world's horses are fast, but God takes no pleasure in the speed of a horse if it's causing you to gallop away from God's will. You know, you could get in your car and take off, right, and hit that accelerator and drive away from Sunday church and drive away from serving the Lord. And you could go out there and really take off with your car and enjoy the summertime. But God said, I'll make problems be faster than your car, and they'll catch up with you where you are. Why? Because you're turning away from me, and you should hand your worries over to me, not go to the world to get your release from. I found out when I get stirred up or worried, I need to get closer to God, and that's my best recreation that I can possibly get. Don't worry about anything, because if you do, it'll turn to panic, and that will make you take things into your own hands, and you'll get into real bad sins. And one thing that will cause you to worry and stop trusting the Lord is the counsel of the wrong kind of people. The Bible says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh what? Not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Don't be listening. You know, you ever hear of fake news? You heard of fake news. I have a laptop, and I cannot stand the news on my laptop. It's by the internet crowd, the world, and it's so stinking rotten, lying, fake news. And if I listen to that, I am going to be like this. I mean, just like this, it's going to drive me out of my mind. And we got so many believers, they're news junkies. They get in front of even Fox News or something like that, and they get in front of the news and they listen to it and listen to it and listen to it and listen to it. How about spending more time with God and the Bible? And God will become really big, and you'll have peace in your heart, and you'll be able to do something that'll make a difference in the world. So I'm just saying, blessed is the man walking not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, who you may hang around on the news. If you're hanging around unsaved family and friends, and you allow their words to get into your head, eventually they'll get you to stop waiting on God, and you'll act like Abraham did when he went down to remember what he did when he was all worried about not having a baby? Because Sarah couldn't have a baby. And finally Sarah told him, listen, go to my handmaid and get a baby with her. Let her be a surrogate mom. And Abraham, he got sick of waiting. He said, okay, I'll do it. And he did it. And that created all the problems in the Middle East today, because from that baby came all the conflict between Israel and the Middle East, enemies of Israel. And so I'm just saying, panic is Satan's tool to get you away from God. And I have seen it in the church. When people begin to worry about something, Satan will use that. And guess what? It says in the Bible, 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. One problem, and you can run away from God. And at the rebuke of five shall ye flee. And one problem leads to the next. And I have seen people leave God, leave the church, and subtract from God's army. Why? Because they're getting worry in the driver's seat of their life. Philippians 1:28 says this to you, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. That sounds like panic, doesn't it? Have you ever been terrified by something? You've heard me talk about Scott Magnuson, right? I remember Brother Eric, he heard me talk about Scott Magnuson. He actually looked him up on the internet and he found him. But Scott Magnuson was a bully in my life, and I was just moved into the property, and I was just a little kid, about, I don't know, 7 years old, you know, and I was taking my bicycle and pedaling down to Plaster Creek down the way. And at that time, there were no houses. And Scott Magnuson was there, and he threatened me. He said, if I see you again, I'm going to kill you. And I was like, He's probably about an 11-year-old kid. You know, I was all shook up. You know, and I worried about Scott Magnuson. Oh, I don't want to see Scott Magnuson. He was a bully. And I was in a panic over Scott Magnuson. My mother's here tonight. She probably never knew about him. But I was in a panic about this probably 11-year-old boy. It says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. What are you letting get you worried? And then in a panic, stop letting worldly people, stop letting the devil get you into a panic, and realize that you can actually stand up to the devil. I know the kids did it today, but devil was hurting today. But Ephesians 6 says that you need to learn to stand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. And don't run away. So many, I've seen it happen in this church, they've run away from the church, from their problems in the church, and they think they're going to get away, and it won't happen. You say, well, what should I do? Some of you have a problem. Something has entered into your life, and you know in the future you're going to have to face it. You're going to have to face it in the future. And guess what you're doing? You're facing it right now. But it's not the future. God is not going to give you the wisdom you need right this second to deal with it. God's not going to give you the strength you need to deal with it right now. And a lot of the things you worry about may never happen. My mom is here tonight. I'm not going to say how old she is. I'm worried about that. But for the last 16 years, she thinks I may be dying today. Because, you know, you get up there and you start thinking about that. We all would. But it's only one day at a time. And only God knows that day. And my mom has outlived a lot of people. A lot of people. And I thank God for her. I thank God she's here tonight. I thank God she goes out shopping 2 times a week or so. She prays and talks to Matt out in the back porch, and God has blessed her life. I'm just saying, Jesus put it this way, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You don't have to face it today. Postpone it till tomorrow. When tomorrow comes, postpone it till the next day. Postpone it till it comes, and it may not come. Don't worry about anything. So the name of the message is pray, don't panic. First point, don't panic about anything. Second point, patiently wait in God's presence for everything. Everything good. Patiently wait in God's presence for everything good. And that's in Isaiah 30. I'll quote it, verse 18. It says, I'm not quoting that. I'll read it here. I have it here. I had another verse I was going to give you. But Isaiah 30, 18. Let me read that. It says, and therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. You know what? God will make you wait. So when you get it, you can know, wow, you really bless me. You may go through a time of trouble. You may go through a time when you're tempted to worry and panic. God said, no, you got to wait. And I'm going to wait. And then after a certain period, I will be gracious to you. You can count on it. I've heard your prayer. I've heard your prayer. You may have prayed for something and prayed for something. You're not seeing it, and you're tempted to fret and worry. No, he says, wait patiently in God's presence for every good thing. It says in James 1:17, every good gift and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1:17. I like this one. I didn't even have it here, but it says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but the desire granted is a tree of life. When you wait for God's good gifts, God's perfect gifts, When you get them, they keep on giving. I remember waiting on God for my precious bride right back there. Been married to her for 53 years. And I remember I stopped dating any girls. I said, I'm not going to date any girls in the Bible college. First, when I got to Bible college, I was like, look at all these Christian girls. You know, I just stopped dating any girl. I said, I'm not going to date. And I went in my prayer closet, spent 2 hours a day in prayer. And I had I was a resident advisor in the dormitory. I had guys that I was working with. You know, I was an upperclassman at the time. They were freshmen and stuff. They would all sit around the prayer closet, wait for me to come out. I know you've been praying for your wife. I said, I've been praying for a lot of things, but yeah, that's included. God will take care of it. And when God brought my wife into my life, and we got an apartment in Scranton because I was still finishing up college, those guys all came to dinner. And my wife made them one beautiful dinner, and they were all single guys, and they were like astounded at how God worked in my life without dating. And he brought a woman into my life, you know. And they were like, wow, this is amazing how God did that. And my wife is a gift that keeps on giving. You know, she's been going through it, you know, but she keeps going. And keeps giving. And what a blessing. And don't count her out. Don't count me out. Don't count her out. God has blessed that gift. Hope deferred. I wanted a wife. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But the desire granted is a tree of life. When you wait on God, patiently wait in God's presence, you'll get every good thing that God has for you. And it also says that it gives God pleasure when you wait. He enjoys it when you're waiting on him. He looks at you when you're waiting on him. He said, look at my child there, waiting on me, looking to me. And the psalmist put it this way in Psalm 37. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And then it says, and that's verse 5. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Do you see a lot of wickedness in our world today? I look at the news, I see Mondami, and I see Islamists that are becoming elected to political office. I see communists that are being elected to political office. And the Bible says in Psalm 37, I saw the wicked spreading himself like a green bay tree. And then he says, I looked and he wasn't even there anymore. God will cut that tree down. If you wait on him for it, that's the best thing we can do. We're facing threats in our country and in the midterms. They're very real. They're very great. But this is panic about nothing. Pray about everything. In other words, pray, don't panic. And worry about nothing and patiently wait in God's presence for everything. The prophet Isaiah puts it this way again, and I already read this, but I'll read it again. It's a great verse. And therefore will the Lord wait. You know, not only do you wait, the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious unto you. Why do you think the Lord waits? Because he's teaching you to wait. And therefore will he be exalted. Therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all those that wait for him. See, when you wait upon God, and God makes you wait, he gets exalted. When he does it, it becomes a testimony that he did. That's like Abraham when he had Isaac. That was God's provision, not Ishmael. Isaac was God's provision. And that's when God's exalted in your life, when you wait upon God. Because it's no longer you doing it. It's God doing it in you and through you. And that always succeeds. And so patiently wait in God's presence for every good thing in your life. I remember in 2016 when Hillary was going to be elected, and I thought, we're going to get the wicked witch from the West. Oh, we don't want her. And we prayed and asked God. And I remember we were here praying and fasting and came together and prayed as a church that we wouldn't get Hillary. And Donald Trump was running against her, and they didn't give him a chance. They didn't give him a chance at that time. And I was praying for Michigan, my state that I'm from. I said, God, let Michigan go for Trump, because that'll get him. Let Pennsylvania go for that'll get her. That'll get her. And let Florida, my wife's state, go for Trump. I came from Michigan. I'm pastoring in Pennsylvania. My wife's from Florida. I prayed those three things. And you know what? That night, the last night that we had for the election, Donald Trump was in Michigan that day earlier. What city? Grand Rapids. That's where I was born. Butterworth Hospital, Grand Rapids, Michigan. He came here to Scranton, Pennsylvania that night. And what state was he in? Pennsylvania. But what city? Scranton, the city where our church is, where I've been. And he was at the University of Scranton. And we just stayed right here and prayed, didn't we, Bobby? Remember that? We prayed. And God heard. That night, we went and watched the results. 2016, Michigan went for Trump. Pennsylvania went for Trump. And Florida went for Trump. And he won against the Wicked Witch of the West. It was such a blessing not to have Hillabelle in there. Not to have her in there. And so we got an answer. And the same thing will work right now. Pray, don't panic. There's some bad things that we see in the news. They're telling. But listen, I got better news for you tonight. Pray. Don't panic. First, don't panic about anything. Second, patiently wait in God's presence for every good thing. And I've got a verse along those lines in Psalm 37:4. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. How many of you like to have the desires of your heart? I do. God says you can get it by getting all into God, being delighted with God, being in love with God. That's where the action is. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. And then in Hebrews 10, 35 and 36, I want to quote this to you. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence. How many of you have had confidence that God was going to do something? Then as time wore on and you had disappointments, you lost that confidence. I've been there. Yeah. So it says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of what? Patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. In other words, you've got to patiently wait in God's presence for every good thing. I remember we had a deacon in our church, young man, great young man. Got up at 5 a.m. every day to pray. He worked out. He was so excited because we lost our building. We lost our church building that we had in Green Ridge. And we were meeting in other churches, and we were praying. This deacon and some others, we were praying for God to give us a building. And you know, he prayed and prayed, and it didn't happen on his timetable. And he left the will of God for a time. He left our church. And that very year, God gave us this building, 1987, April. I remember it. Gene Hordesky sung, "The Rising God Forsakes the Tomb." Isaac Watts' song, he wrote the words and played on the piano. We celebrated this building. We moved in here April 1987, Easter Sunday. But listen, we had waited patiently in God's presence. And those that stayed here got to enjoy it. This guy left, and he never got to really see the blessing firsthand. I like what Dr. Charles Ware said. He said, when God works, I want to be right in the front row watching God work. Amen. I think my mother, Joe, told her to sit right there because you can hear there. And she told me, when I sat where Joe told me, I can hear. I want to sit right there in God's presence, hear from him, and do what he wants me to do. And wait. What he wants you to do is wait for good things that he has for you. Don't run off like a chicken with your head cut off, doing everything that you can do. First, don't panic about anything. Second, patiently wait on God for every good thing. Thirdly, pray about everything. Here's what it says in Isaiah 30, verse 19. It says, he will be very gracious unto thee. I like that. Very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. You know what I think a problem is? We're worried much more than we're crying out to God for things. I think if God starts hearing you, really cry out to God and say, God, I'm not going to worry about this. I'm putting in your hands, but here's what I'm crying out to you for. I think we're going to see great and mighty things more than we are. You know, you think about parents that are here at Christmas time. How many of you like to get gifts for your kids at Christmas? How many? Raise your hand. Come on. How many of you? Yeah. And you work on it, and you plan it. And birthdays, you want to give them a nice birthday party. You mothers, you want to do that and give them good gifts. Well, doesn't Jesus say God is better than any earthly parent as far as wanting to give good gifts to his children? Now, maybe what we want is our lust. That's not a good thing, because that'll wreck you. But when you wait on God, you know, lust can't wait to get something, but love can wait so you can give. That's what God does. And so pray about it, because it says in verse 19 of Isaiah, he will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer. See, they weren't really praying to him much. Have you ever gotten so active and worried and pressed, you just, when you went to pray, you just didn't feel like praying? That's a bad place to be in, right? You have to tell God that. I'm not in a good place. Soften my heart. And so I'm just saying, not only wait upon God for his promised blessings, but his further teaching and guidance that he will give you from his word. You say, he will give me guidance and teaching? Yeah, it says in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20, And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Can I ask you a question? Are you receiving teaching from the Word of God that helps you? Do your eyes see your teachers? I'm glad if you're here tonight and your eyes see your teachers. I was talking to Brother Eddie, and he was telling me, I'm working out of where I was, Pastor. I was blessed of God, and then I got away, and now I'm coming back out of it. And that's exactly how God works. When we get away from him, it's not good. And we have a lot of negative consequences. But we come back to God over time. It takes time, a whole lot of time. But he begins to show you the blessings that mount up. And you begin to hear teaching that will help you to grow. And it says in Isaiah 30, 21, it says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. I have it happen to me. I'm to that place right now. I'll keep going to God and say, God, you show me. I want your direction. And he gives it to me by his Holy Spirit through his word. I thought tonight, God, I'm not satisfied with any sermon. I want to know what you want me to preach. And I walked into a certain place and Psalm 37 hit me. Now, that's not what I'm preaching on, but it's the idea of Psalm 37. And then he led me to this scripture in Isaiah 30. And tonight, I believe this is for you. Pray, don't panic. Don't panic about anything. Secondly, wait in God's presence for everything. And then thirdly, pray about all these things, and you'll experience His guidance. He'll give you His wisdom. You will have quietness and confidence. Don't talk to people all the time and listen to that stir up your worry. You need this. You need this. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed tonight. Praise God.